I want you to remember also we have some cards up here that need to be signed. This morning, our speaker is known to each one of us. He's no stranger. And he's definitely no stranger to me, because I've known him for over 80 years. He's a good friend, but he also is a good friend that will bring us to the story or whatever he has this day to keep us on the right side of the Lord and don't get caught up and go into that broad and spacious building and way and get in trouble. So I give to you our Apostle Don McAndrew.
Thank you, Jim. We have indeed known one another for many, many years. Hard to imagine how many. I greet you each. I'm happy to see so many people here. I didn't expect quite so many. With all of our people who are traveling on the road, in service to their Lord, in the youth camp, in service to our young people, the reunion that takes place in Missouri. I ask you to remember these people, these things. I would like to speak to you and read some scriptures and some prophecies, and it's going to be found primarily in the Book of Mormon. I'd like to start with a short text, three verses in 2 Nephi chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 45 and then 58 and 59. It's found on page 143 if you're following along. And notwithstanding, we believe in Christ. We keep the law of Moses. And for this, looking forward with steadfastness unto Christ, unto the law, when the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Now verse 58 and 59. And after that Christ shall have risen from the dead, he will show himself unto you, my children, my beloved brothers. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law that you shall do. How important that is, the words that he has spoken unto us. This prophecy was given some 500 years before Christ was born. Like the prophecies of Isaiah, Ezekiel, hundreds of years before he was born, his work and his mission were brought to the attention of the people of Israel. I guess I have a tendency to ask. I've always had that tendency to ask questions. Did he really come? Did he really appear here to the people, the ancient people in America? I guess that's a question that I would ask. I'm going to ask my brother Jim if he will read a response to that question in 3 Nephi chapter 5. He's going to read verses 6 to 11, and it's found on page 631.
What verse was that?
6 to 11.
6 to 11.
And 3 Nephi 5.
There's Nephi 5. And it came to pass that again they heard a voice, that they understood not it not. And again, the third time, they heard a voice. And they did open up their eyes, their ears, to hear it. And their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards heaven, from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. And it came again, and it came to pass that they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed with a white robe, and he came down and stood amidst them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought that it was an angel, and it had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ.
And So the Book of Mormon tells us he did come. He did appear to the people in Asia and America. I guess from the time I was a young kid, I kind of question things. I like to read books and study it. I like to find out what the scholars said. And I guess I would ask that question today. What do the men of science, of history, have to say about the coming of Christ to America? When I was a student, grade school, first couple of years of high school, I loved to read. I read every book in the Phoenix Library about the indigenous people of America. Now, that's not saying too much, because the Phoenix Library at that time was about the size of this room. If you drive down on Washington Street, you could have seen it. Sitting in a park there between Washington and Jefferson was this little round building. But I would walk or ride my bike up there, and I read every book about the indigenous people of America. I had questions. What did the men of science have to say? I'm going to ask Jim to read another passage. For that, I'm going to read one little short passage written by two men, a historian, one, an anthropologist, another. The historian, K.S. Laureate, wrote these words. Jesus is the most important life ever lived on this planet. Would you question that thought? I wouldn't. And the anthropologist, Séjourné, he writes this: the white god of the Native Americans is the greatest figure in the history of the New World. He wrote that in his book, Burning Water, on page 25. The greatest figure that ever lived in the New World. The white god of the Native Americans. And you know, we haven't heard a whole lot about that. And I'm concerned and I'm interested. I would like you to learn more. I've been working on a project here several weeks ago on a Sunday morning when the ministry met together at 8 o'clock. I had some passages that I had written, insertions that I've placed in my Book of Mormon. I doubt you can see them, little fluffy pages floating around there. Four of them there on that page. Of the writings of scholars, men of science, of anthropology. And I guess I would like that anyone who desired could have this information to accompany their Book of Mormon or to have it at home, whatever they would please. So I had a little disc and I let each of the ministry copy about 25, 27 inserts to put in their Book of Mormon if they liked. I've been working on it ever since. Now I have on my computer in this list of insertions about 52. And in the next few weeks that come about, I'd like to get about 75. And I'd like to have each of the ministry have a copy of them on their computer. And each of the members who would be interested have a copy of it that they could use. I'd like to ask Jim to read a passage that is sort of familiar to us. It's found in the book of St. John. St. John, chapter 10. Probably a chapter we're familiar with. We're going to read verses 14 to 16. These are the words of Jesus.
I am the good shepherd. And now my sheep, I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. For the Father knoweth me, even so I knoweth the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd.
There is the verse I often think of. Jesus told the people in Israel, other sheep I have which are not here of this fold in Israel. They too will hear my voice. They will have him for their shepherd. Of whom was he speaking? When he appeared here in America and he was teaching the people here upon this continent, probably in Mesoamerica at the time, he told them the same thing. Those same words that we read, he told the people here. In 3 Nephi chapter 7, you probably could find it. Don't look for it now. About verse 23, He tells them, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Not here of America, not there in Israel. And they shall hear my voice. And then he goes on to speak. There are other people. Who in the world could they be? Jesus came to preach the gospel of God Almighty to the shepherd, to the sheep of Israel. Not just the ones in Judea, and not just to those that were led to America out of Judea. Who are they? We don't know. We really don't have any other record other than this one in the Book of Mormon. But I'm positive that he went to the lost tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, that many of them have heard his words as well. You know, the Babylonian captivity, followed by the captivity of the nation more powerful, the Persians, carried the people of Israel, of Judea, out of their homelands and over into Babylonia. And then when it was conquered by the Persians, off over into Persia. Villages and towns all over the ancient Middle East are still inhabited by remnants of Israel. It may have been to some of them that he went. But most of the native people of Israel were carried captive up by the Black Sea, between the Mediterranean, between the Black and the Caspian Sea, up there in Middle Asia. And then they were dispersed. Where are they now? Some went into Europe, some went into Asia. I have read on the internet, I have found places where there are tribes of people, one in India, not far from where our missionaries travel, that were of the house of Israel. One in China, of the house of Israel. Maybe one day records will come forth, I know not. But I do know that Jesus told the people here in America that he had other sheep that were not of Israel, not of the Judea, not here of America, and they too would hear his voice. I'm going to read a prophecy. It's found in the book of Helaman. It's a prophecy about Jesus. In the book of Helaman, chapter 5, verse 59. It says this, "And behold, a new star shall arise." A new star shall arise, which you have never beheld. And this shall also be a sign unto you. A sign of what? The birth of the Savior. Did that prophecy we read here in this book, did it have any impact upon the Native American people that live on this continent? Jim's going to read the words of what they have, what some of the men of science have to say about that impact of that prophecy of that came here of a new star that would arise and be a sign to the people of the birth of the Messiah. Jim, would you read your insert, please? For Helaman, chapter 5. Pardon?
You want me to read chapter 5?
I want you to read your insert.
I've got it right here. Helaman, chapter 5.
page 591 if you need the page. He was born of a virgin on the night when the bright star came out of the heavens and stood over his city. The heavens opened and down came winged beings singing chants of exquisite beauty.
And who was the author of that? Read on.
That's Anton L. Taylor. And he has written in He Walked the Americas on page 48.
L. Taylor Hansen wrote a book entitled He Walked the Americas. This anthropologist has visited tribes of Native Americans from Latin America to Canada. And she has stories to write and tell the world about the beliefs of these Native Americans that have carried them on for thousands of years, traditions that they have. And so, to me, that is an important kind of a message that we need to have. I'd like to read now some words of a woman. I didn't know her. My brother Leon Yates, that I used to travel with in Yucatan, he knew her well. I met her brother. A Caucasian lady who grew up on a farm in the jungles of Chiapas, down on the southern border of Mexico, on the border of Guatemala, in the land of the Maya. All of her friends, fellow students in the little school she went to, were Mayan. She knew them. She learned the language. They were her friends. She knew the people in her villages. She knew the high priest of the Mayan religion. And I'd like to read what she spoke, what she told the people he had told her. We are the Maya. We came from the east, out of the morning. Hunabku, the all God, was the only one who knew, and he sent his son, Ipsanna, the son of God, the Father, Ipsanna. In the Mayan language, that is. He sent him to teach man. Itzamna was made into child, and then into man, with a hand that blessed. And in turn, the earth was blessed by him. Words of an ancient Mayan priest. This woman did come up to the United States and go to university. She studied to be an anthropologist, and she has written books. But her books tell of the God of the Mayan people. I read this out of The Witness. The Witness is a magazine that used to be published by a church that believed in the Book of Mormon, and they invited Karina Shields to come up and speak to them, and those are the words that she told them. And one more prophecy about Christ. I'm going to read now in Mosiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 104 and 105. It's found on page 215. And they shall scourge him, and shall crucify him, and he shall rise the third day from the dead. And behold, he standeth to judge the world. A prophecy. But did that prophecy have any lasting effect upon Native Americans? I'm going to ask my brother Jim if he'll read another insert. This time from Mosiah, chapter 1.
About the sun, they said he was lashed and a crown of thorns put upon him. And he was placed upon a timber. And there he died. And he was dead for 3 days. And on the third day, he came to life and went up to heaven.
You know, there's something I like greatly about those words of the ancient Mayan people. Who wrote that, Jim?
Archaeologist Warren and Ferguson. It's come from a book called Messiah and the Ancient America on page 157.
The thing I like about that tradition that Warren and Ferguson are repeating there is that they didn't learn it from the Spanish. He was lashed and a crown of thorns placed on his head, and he was tied to a timber. He wasn't nailed on a cross. He was tied to a timber. A tradition that's come down for thousands of years to these people. A little different than the reality. You know, many of the things that scientists have learned about the ancient Mayan people came from the first Spanish priest that came here from the Catholic Church. And there were many of them who wrote marvelous things about the traditions of the ancient Mayan people. Marvelous things. Miraculous. They knew the white God. They knew this burdened man who came here, and they called his name Itzamna. I would like to have Jim read from 3 Nephi chapter 5, some verses, 3 or 4 verses, 66 to 68.
Behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Another anthropologist, his name is Jean Savoy. He writes this: just as our era began with Jesus Christ, that of the ancient Mexican people, and this time he's talking about the Aztec people that live up in central Mexico, that used to live up there, began with Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl is the Aztec name for Itzamna, the same bearded white god that appeared here in America. And as lawgiver, as civilizer, as religious teacher, he exemplified a way of life superior to any known long before. He was tall, with a fair beard and large eyes. Written by Jean Savoy on the trail of the bearded serpent on page 150. This is another of the things that show that the peoples, not only of the Maya people, not only of the Inca people in Peru, but the Aztec people that lived farther north were convinced about the teaching of a white god. It was superior to anything that they had known. So let's consider now some of the things that that Jesus said, some of the things he did, and what the anthropologists have to say about that. In 3 Nephi chapter 5, Jim's going to read verses. No, he's done that already. Let's see, I'm lost on my, I'm blind, you know, so I'll read a passage. I'll read a passage from 3 Nephi chapter 6. I'll read verse chapter 6, verse 1, and then Jim will read some inserts about that. This is what we read in 3 Nephi chapter 6, the words of Jesus. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he looked upon the 12 whom he had chosen and said unto them, remember these words I have spoken. Jim will read an insert about that passage. Third Nephi 6:1.
He had chosen one of the priesthood from the favored 12 who was always around him. Hanson L. Taylor, He Walked the Americas, page 165.
So the people of America had this concept of 12 members of the priesthood that Jesus had chosen. I'm going to read now in 3 Nephi, once again, the words of Jesus in chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 9. And it came to pass that when he had thus spoken, all the multitude with one accord did go forward with their sick, and with their afflicted, and their lame, and their blind, and with their dumb, and with all they that were afflicted in any manner, and he did heal them every one of their, as they were brought unto him. And Jesus healed the sick and the afflicted, he raised up the dead. We have many examples of that in the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to ask Jim now if he'll read the insertion about that, 3 Nephi chapter 8, verse 9, of what the men of science have to say about this.
An early indigenous historian in his story, an account of the antiquities of Peru, wrote, there arrived in these territories a bearded man of medium height, long hair, dressed in a rather long coat. And he addressed the natives with love, calling them his sons and his daughters. As he traversed the land, he worked miracles. He healed the sick by his touch. And this has been Osborne South, American Mythology, on page 87. Another archaeologist tells us that Ishtamsamna of Yucatan were brought the sick, the halt, the dead, and he healed and restored them to life by the touch of his hand. Charlene, and Ancient Cities of the New World, page 308.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. I'm going to close, I guess, with some of these last words of Jesus Christ. When he was here in America, he looked down upon the people, and he spoke to the people. These are the last words recorded of him. And they're found in 3 Nephi chapter 11, verse 30. And he did expound all things, even from the beginning until the time that he should return in his glory. He did expound unto them from the beginning until that future time when he will return to the earth in his glory. And what say the men of science, Brother Jim?
The white God left his people with a solemn promise that he would come back one day. That's Honor Pierre in Search of the White God, page 17. And remember these words of the reconstructed Quetzalcoatl. One day I will return to you. Anaya Rudolfo, Lord of the Dawn, page 143. A very respected anthropologist is Frank Waters. He writes of Quetzalcoatl, a god who manifests himself as a white bearded man, taught the people all the arts and sciences of civilization, and then disappeared with a promise to return someday in the year of his birth. Waters, Coming of the Sixth World Consciousness, page 5.
In the year of his birth, it's mentioned there, the name of that year in the Indian language, Seacatl, the year of his birth. He's going to come back someday. Now, I don't believe that Jesus ever told the people anywhere when he's going to return. We never find that anywhere in the scriptures. In that Indian tradition, it says in the year Seacatl. I find it interesting. Seacatl, in the Aztec language, is the year 1519. If we would go and read the history of the Aztec people, we find that the Aztec people built their city in a body of water up in the high country of Mexico, where Mexico City stands today. It's all dry, almost all dry. But in those years, it was all covered with water. In the middle of that lagoon of water was a city built with one entrance into it. A paved road that went into it, built on rock. But the capital city of the Aztec was there, a large city. And Montezuma and the other leaders of the Aztec people, about this year, there was a prophet of the Aztecs who was coming to them, and he was telling them that there are going to come the sons of Quetzalcoatl to our land. Well, they had a hard time believing that. They're going to come to us, the sons of Quetzalcoatl. The year Seacatl is the very year when Cortez and his 600 soldiers, 20 horses, 10 cannons landed on the coast of Veracruz. And when they landed on the coast of Veracruz, they were received with joy, because these people had believed that prophecy that the prophet was telling Montezuma. The sons of Quetzalcoatl, Spaniards who had the Christian religion with them. But I don't believe that the Lord has ever told anyone that Seacatl 1519 was certainly an important, vital year of the Aztec people. Cortez landed there among these Native American people who were slaves to the Aztec Empire. The Aztec Montezuma would send his soldiers down to every one of these little villages, and he would ask them for two or three or five people that they could use for sacrifices to some of their gods. They hated the Aztec people. They accompanied Cortez with just his 600 men, and they went north. Within a year, they had defeated the Aztec Empire. So Seacatl, though it wasn't the year that Jesus Christ was going to come, was an important year to the people of the Aztec Empire. If one went and visited the museum, the National Museum of Art in Mexico City, they would see the walls are covered with beautiful paintings of Quetzalcoatl. The windows up above have been made into beautiful, I don't remember what you call them, with colored glass of the bearded prophet who came among them. And he stood there with a foot upon a mountain holding a shepherd's crook. The traditions of the Aztec people. Diego Rivera, one of the favored artists of Mexico, has beautiful paintings of Quetzalcoatl. And one, I guess, that fits this last scripture that we read is a painting of him leaving on a cloud as he left the earth and went back into heaven with his heavenly Father. Well, thank you for putting up with my poor reading ability. I'm hoping that within a month or so, I might be able to give to each of the ministry here, and to any of you who desire, the ministry can give, or I will, about 70, 75 of these writings of men of science, scholars, linguists, who have written and given evidence for the things that we read in the Book of Mormon. God bless you.